You are listening to the Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the Visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 161, and in this episode, we'll continue reading from Volume 3, from the section pertaining to the preaching and miracles of Jesus. Today we read number 13, Cure of a Man with a Withered Hand. Blessed is the womb that bore thee. 13. When Jesus went to the synagogue to teach, the Pharisees laid a snare for him. In a corner of the synagogue was a poor creature with a withered hand. He had not ventured to appear before Jesus and now held back, intimidated by the presence of the Pharisees. These latter were reproaching Jesus, asking him how he could make his appearance with a publican like Matthew. To this, Jesus responded that he had come to console and convert sinners, but that no Pharisee should ever be numbered among his disciples. The Pharisees mockingly retorted, "Master, here is one for whom thou hast come. Perhaps thou wilt heal him also." Thereupon, Jesus commanded the man with the withered hand to come forward and stand in the midst of the assembly. He did so, and Jesus said to him, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." The Pharisees, who scorned the poor man, whose reputation was not of the best, cried out, "His withered hand has never hindered him from sinning." Then Jesus grasped the hand, straightened the fingers, and said, "Use thy hand." The man stretched out his hand, found it cured, and went away giving thanks. Jesus justified him against the calumnies of the Pharisees, expressed compassion for him, and declared him a good-hearted fellow. The Pharisees were covered with confusion and filled with wrath. They declared Jesus a Sabbath breaker, against whom they would lodge an accusation, and then took their departure. In the neighborhood of the synagogue, they met some Herodians, with whom they consulted as to how they should lie in wait for Jesus on the next feast in Jerusalem. When Jesus later on addressed the people in Peter's house, among the other women present was Leah, the sister-in-law of Enyu, recently cured of the issue of blood. Her husband was a Pharisee and a zealous opponent of Jesus, but Leah herself was profoundly impressed by the instructions she had heard. "I saw her at first calm and sorrowful, often changing her place among the crowd, as if looking for someone, but I found out that she was in this way obeying the impulse that prompted her to proclaim aloud her reverence for Jesus." Then approached the mother of Jesus, accompanied by several women, namely Martha, Susanna of Jerusalem, Dinah the Samaritan, and Susanna Alphaeus, a daughter of Mary Cleophas, and sister of the apostles. She was about 30 and had grown children. Her husband lived in Nazareth, and it was there that she had joined the holy women. Susanna Cleophas desired to be admitted among the community of women that rendered service to Jesus and his disciples. Mary and her companions entered the court that led to the hall in which Jesus was teaching. He had been reproaching the Pharisees with their hypocrisy and impurity, and because he always interwove some of the Beatitudes with his other teachings, he just at that moment exclaimed, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." Leah, meanwhile, seeing Mary coming in, could no longer restrain herself. As if intoxicated with joy, she cried out from among the crowd, "More blessed," these are the exact words that I heard, "more blessed the womb that bore thee, and the breasts that gave thee suck." To which I saw Jesus quietly replying, "And far more blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And he went on with his discourse. Leah went to Mary, saluted her, spoke of Enyu's cure, and of her own resolve to give her wealth to the community, and requested Mary to intercede with her son for her husband's conversion. He was a Pharisee of Panaeus. Mary conversed with her in a low voice. She had not heard Leah's sudden exclamation, nor Jesus' reply, and soon she withdrew with the women. Mary was possessed of admirable simplicity. Jesus never showed her any marks of distinction before others, excepting that he treated her with reverence. She never had much to do with any, unless with the sick and the ignorant, and her demeanor was always marked by humility, recollection, and simplicity. All, even the enemies of Jesus, honored her, and yet she never sought after anyone, but was always quiet and alone. Jesus went next to Peter's fishery, where, before a great crowd of people, he taught in parables of the kingdom of God. Then he mounted his little bark and taught from the lake. A scribe from Nazareth named Sarasaph proposed himself as a disciple. When Jesus repeated to him the words, "The foxes have their holes," etc., Sarasaph afterward married Salome, the daughter of Jairus. After Jesus' death, both husband and wife joined the community. Beside this scribe, there were two others who for some time followed Jesus as disciples. One of them asked him whether he would not soon take possession of his kingdom, for he had already sufficiently proved his mission. Would he not soon seat himself upon the throne of David? Jesus, having reprimanded him and ordered him to follow him with docility, he replied that he would first go and take leave of his family. To this, Jesus responded, "Whoever puts his hands to the plow," etc. A third, who had joined Jesus at Sepphoris, expressed his wish to go and bury his father. Jesus replied, "Let the dead bury their dead." These words were not spoken literally, for his father was not yet dead. It was an expression which meant receiving one's share of the patrimony and providing for one's parents. Jesus spent that night on the mountain near Chorazin with two of the disciples under a tent and in prayer. The other disciples came next morning to the sermon. Jesus explained today the fourth beatitude and this passage from Isaiah. "Behold my servant, I will uphold him, my elect, my soul delighteth in him. I have given my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." The multitude was very great. There was present a troop of Roman soldiers from the different garrisons around the country. They had been sent to hear Jesus' doctrines, to note his bearing, and to give information on the same. From Gaul and other provinces of the empire, they had written to Rome for news of the prophet of Judea, because this last-named country was under the Roman sway. Rome had in consequence made inquiries of the officers of the different garrisons, and these latter had now sent about 100 of their trusty soldiers, who stood where they could both see and hear well. The instruction over Jesus went with the disciples down the mountain to the valley on the south. Here there was a spring, and here too had bread and fish been prepared by the holy women who devoted themselves to such services. The multitude had encamped on the mountainside. Many of them were without provisions, and they sent some of their number to beg food of the disciples. The bread and fish were arranged in baskets on a grassy mound. Jesus blessed the baskets and helped the disciples to distribute their contents to all that asked. It was apparently far enough, and yet all received what they needed. I heard the people saying, "It is multiplied in his hands." The Roman soldiers also asked for some of the blessed bread, for they wanted to send it to Rome as a testimony of what they had seen and heard. Jesus ordered what remained to be given to them, and there was still enough for all the leaders. They wrapped it up carefully and took it away with them. This concludes our reading for today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. One of the words that is used in our readings, both the other day and today, was calumny. The one day it was the calumnious accusations or something like that. Today we heard Jesus justified him against the calumnies of the Pharisees. So calumny is one of these sins. It's a sin of the tongue. It's the making of false and defamatory statements about someone in order to damage their reputation. So it's really slander, a false statement. So Jesus justified him against the calumnies of the Pharisees. So people were making false statements against this individual, this man cured of the withered hand. Jesus defended this individual. There's also a few other, sins of the tongue. One is detraction. So calumny would be the false statement. Detraction would be saying something unkind about another to damage their reputation, but it might be true. So detraction in that sense. So it's just good for us. We say in the Confiteor, I confess, Almighty God, to you, my brothers and sisters, I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and my words and what I've done and what I have failed to do. So these words are what we have done. And so we repent over any calumny that maybe we have said in our life. Our reading today also gives us that beautiful Marian praise. Blessed is the womb that bore thee. And then as Jesus hears this, Jesus says, no, far more blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Of course, we know Mary kept the word of God, that she heard it, that she lived it in her life. We see too this Marian playing out of our reading. And you asked Mary, requested her to intercede with her son for her husband's conversion. So the efficacy again of Mary's intercession. Pray for this to happen. Someone going to her while she's here on earth. It also says that Mary was possessed of admirable simplicity. Jesus never showed her any marks of distinction before others, excepting that he treated her with reverence. So it's not that Jesus doesn't honor her, but Jesus doesn't want to make her different than others because she already is by who she is. And there's no need for Jesus to do this because I would think people already are making that distinction themselves, that they have already become aware of the great difference there is in Mary between others that they know. Jesus would then, at the end of our reading, spend the night in prayer. Again, a simple reminder. We are called to pray, and we are called to imitate Jesus in his prayer. And so maybe as you go and you pray yourself, as you make your holy hour, simply ask the Lord to allow you to pray and to experience prayer as he did, that you might pray as he prayed. This brings us to an end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emrickpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Also, please share the podcast with others email it to your friends, text a link, invite them to begin listening so that you can have holy conversations with your family and friends about the writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.